This is Evangelist George McTyre with a commentary on the news for the week ending in August the 28th, 2011. And before I go any further, I want to let you know that there was no commentary for the news for the week ending in August the 21st, primarily because other than a few minor changes in the events in the news, in the major events in the news, you know, political realm, who's leading in the Republican thing for getting a candidate ready for the 2012 elections, the economy, Congress being on vacation and so forth, and news along those areas, what the stock market is doing, things, really wasn't that much news to comment on. But this week here, I mean, you know, for that particular week, I did not bother to make a commentary. However, this week here, this commentary here, we're going to look at several issues. First of all, the double whammy that this past week hit the eastern coast of this nation with an earthquake that was centered around in Virginia that was felt as far away as New York and so forth. And then 3 days or so later, you had the hurricane coming through. All of that within 1 week's time. Also, the official dedication of the King Memorial in Washington being postponed because of the hurricane threats and things, so they had to postpone that. And we have a situation again where it seems like this one politician, Michelle Bachmann, that's in the running for challenging President Obama for president, is being criticized because she was saying that these events are God's way of trying to get our attention. And she's being criticized by a lot of people, I think maybe even some Republicans. But are these statements or these criticisms justified, or is Michelle Bachmann on to something here? We're going to look into all of these issues, so it shouldn't take me too long to comment on them because everybody basically knows them anyway. To comment on them, it shouldn't take that long this time, because you know sometimes I'll be running for about a little over an hour each time, so see how long I can it takes me to get through these issues of in the news ending the week of August the 28th, 2011. First, as I mentioned, this week was unique as far as from what I had understood. I had not really paid that much attention to the history of earthquakes and hurricanes and the like, but I heard on the news that this week was an historical event happened, because within the span of 4 or 5 days, the eastern coast was hit, first of all, with a earthquake that was centered somewhere in Virginia. It was a 5.9 on the Richter scale earthquake that did quite a bit of damage around the Virginia area and so forth, and it was, the effects of that earthquake were felt as far away as New York. And it was during this time that we were also following the path of this hurricane Irene that had been formed out in the Atlantic, and it was moving toward the United States, and we were getting prepared to deal with that if it becomes necessary to do so. And the effects of what were going to take place had cities all along the eastern coast and states along the eastern coast preparing to deal with this hurricane, which at one time had a magnitude, I forget what it is, the power of the storm had a category 3, I think, or 4 hurricane while it was in the Bahamas. But as it got closer to the United States, it began to weaken. But the path of it was something that, you know, people were concerned about, and the fact that not necessarily that the hurricane itself, with the winds being the way they were and stuff, they weren't necessarily worried about that. What they were worried about is flooding and so forth from the seas and the winds, you know, driving the water in and into the cities and so forth, flooding the waste, the sewer systems and things, and a whole lot of other things that were going on, you know, that could be affected by flooding. So it's not so much the wind damage they were worried about as much as it was water damage through flooding and so forth. And as it turned out, as it was ending yesterday, on the 28th, the storm went through, and while there was there's quite a bit of water damage and so forth, at last report, I believe they said 11 people had been killed as a result of this storm in all states. It was in New York especially, you know, they had to shut down, with things being as bad as they were, they had to shut down the subway system, shut down all the airports and things, block people from coming, you know, flying in and out and so forth. And they, and in some areas, governors made it a point and mayors made it a point of telling people to leave their homes and go to higher ground, because like a lot of, some of the airports, especially in New York, from what I understand, are right on the right there by the ocean, right there by the water. And see, the wind was going to be basically flooding the runways and so forth, so people were not going to be able to, planes weren't going to be able to take off and land. In fact, they had to get a lot of the planes either tied down or have them fly out of there to some other safe place until the storm was over. And it was just, you know, the idea that governors and mayors had gotten together and said, we're telling the people to leave. And they were basically, in some instances, making the people leave, even though a lot of people wanted to stay there and ride the storm out, which, you know, the result of the storm, it wasn't as bad as a lot of people thought it was going to be, or what they were being warned that it might be. So the people, the storm didn't do as much damage or wasn't as strong when it hit land. It just rolled up the East Coast and things. In fact, in some areas, they're still tallying the amount of damage that is being done has been done by this storm as it makes its way on up into Canada and so forth, but all on the eastern coast. I think all of the states along that shoreline have been touched by the storm. And some people were making comments about the fact, I know they interviewed Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey, and he was one of the governors that was asked, what did he learn from Katrina, the storm that hit New Orleans back about 5 or so years ago? What lesson did he learn from Katrina when it hit Louisiana and so forth? And Governor Christie said something which, quite frankly, I knew about. I never heard anybody make that much of a statement about it, but Chris Christie said, who happens to be a Republican, you know, governor of New Jersey, said one thing he learned is to tell the people, or be more forceful about telling the people to get out of the low-lying areas because of this storm coming in. Whereas what he was talking about is, if you look back when Katrina hit New Orleans, Louisiana, and so forth, President Bush, in talking with, excuse me for the noise, they were talking with Mayor Nagin of New Orleans, Louisiana, and I think he had also said to the governor of Louisiana to evacuate their people because of this storm, this hurricane was coming in. And since both the governor of Louisiana and the mayor of New Orleans are Democrats, they didn't really, I guess they felt, you know, they really didn't need to bother doing all of that because they didn't think it was going to be that bad. And therefore, a lot of people wound up staying in their homes and things. And then when Katrina did hit and didn't really do that much wind damage, they thought they were safe until those levees broke. Whereas had Nagin followed George Bush's advice and got the people out of there, we wouldn't have had the tragedy necessarily of people being on their roofs and stranded in things and can't get any help and things for days on end, because, which is another problem that we had, was the fact that since Nagin didn't move all of the buses and stuff, the equipment that the FEMA people would have to use to, you know, to help aid survivors in the city, he had left all those buses and things sitting in an area where they got flooded out and basically were useless. So then when FEMA comes in to try to help, they don't have any equipment to work with. They got to send to another state or something to get equipment, because Nagin and his people there in Louisiana and New Orleans and things let all of the equipment that FEMA uses or was going to use basically made them all worthless. See, that's the thing that I guess a lot of people don't understand about when you have situations like these emergencies and so forth. When you have an organization like FEMA or something coming in, you know, which is a government agency, you know, that helps deal with disasters and so forth, they don't come in with their own equipment. They come in and essentially take over and utilize the equipment that is available in that particular municipality or state or whatever the case may be. And when they got there, there was no equipment really for them to use because everything had been destroyed except for maybe what was on the National Guard base or something like that. And then they have to deal with the, you know, with priorities and so forth. So, like I say, Ray Nagin and even the governor of Louisiana, both of them were black. I mean, not black, Democrats. None of them really took heed or did anything, you know, to insist that the people evacuate or try to get them out of there. They just let them stay there. And then when all this disaster hits and things go from just what would have normally been bad to basically a catastrophe, then they want to turn around and blame Bush. Republicans, which they always do try to do it, and that's try to make it appear that it's Republicans that are incompetent, and that actually takes the attention off of them and puts it on the Republicans. And also, essentially that's basically what it is. First time in history that you had a situation where you had an earthquake and hurricane and things hitting the same area within a 3 to 4 day period. Also, another casualty of the hurricane was in Washington, because of the fact that there was supposed to be a dedication of the new Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, and it had to be postponed because of the impending hurricane and how it was messing up the airlines, where the people couldn't fly in and out of Washington, because Washington, being up in that area too, was going to be negatively affected by the hurricane. And then you had the idea that since nobody knew the exact path the hurricane was going to take, they opted to be safe than sorry, so they had postponed the dedication. And as of this commentary, I don't know when the thing is going to be rescheduled. At least I haven't looked on the news articles. There might be something about it now, but I haven't looked at it yet. And since this thing is ending on the 28th of August, since this commentary is ending on the 28th of August, any new thing will probably be on the next commentary in September. And last but not least, we have it again where the news media and politicians and things are criticizing a Republican, namely Michelle Bachmann, for comments that Michelle Bachmann has made as it pertains to these events of this hurricane and this earthquake hitting in the same area within 3 or 4 days of each other. And essentially what it is, she is quoted as saying that with the hurricane and the earthquake having hit so close together in the same areas, as I said, it was a double whammy. She made the comment that it appears like God was trying to get our attention, and naturally that didn't sit well with a lot of people, politicians, primarily Democrats, but there may have been some Republicans. And then you have your common ordinary folk, and naturally you got some preachers. Now, As I see it, I don't see anything wrong with what she said. In fact, in some aspects, this is basically the same thing I have been saying. But you see, we get into this whole notion of separation of church and state where politicians shouldn't be talking about God or have any, trying to follow God's rules and so forth, as if to say that we don't need God in government. Then we wonder why government's falling apart, why we can't get anything done, and then when they do something, is it always ends up being a disaster. And then we go back to them and want them to fix the problem that they made, and then they turn around and come up with another solution that makes things worse. But for those of you that are interested, is Michelle Bachmann actually, is she just being idiotic or foolish, or does she have Bible scripture to back up what she was saying? And quite frankly, she has Bible scripture to back up what she was saying. And those that criticize her, a lot of whom just happen to be preachers, goes to show just exactly how ignorant some of these people are as far as what the Bible has to say. And I'm going to give you one example. I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you, and then I'm going to ask that you pick up a Bible that has the Old and the New Testament in it, and I'm going to give you a new, well, actually, I'll give you the New Testament scriptures I want you to look at. Go get yourself a Bible, and normally I would tell you to get the King James Version of the Bible, which I'm going to tell you to do that. But if you have a parallel Bible, I want you to get it. The parallel Bible is one that has more than one translation of scriptures in it. It might be the King James with the Living Bible, or the King James with the New International Version, or the King James with the New King James. Anyway, pick up the Bible, go make sure it has the Old Testament in it. Read the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. I'm only going to give you one chapter to read, and that's chapter number 28. And what I want you to do is I want you to read the whole chapter from verse 1. I think it has 68 verses in it. Read that one chapter, and then I want you to pay close attention to the scriptures that are in that chapter, starting with verse number 15 and going all the way down to the end. That's where I want you to read from verse number 15 all the way to the end of that chapter, and read about what happens to an individual or even to a nation when they get away from the principles that God says we ought to live by. In other words, what happens when a nation sins against God? And I'm pretty sure once you read that, then you could say, well, maybe Michelle Bachmann is telling us something that we need to take heed of, something that a lot of preachers don't even believe in, evidently, because they're the ones that's doing the criticizing of her. Of course, we do have some that that go along with what she's saying, but see, anytime they or myself, because I'm one of those that go along with what she's saying or can agree with what she's saying, is that we're going to be criticized. Well, having said that, people say, well, that's the Old Testament stuff. Well, you got to remember something. Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, meaning that what God hated yesterday, he hates today, and he will hate it essentially forever. And since, if you want to look at it, the Old Testament represents yesterday, the New Testament represents today, and as far as the forever, that's the future. So the future is represented by forever. And then the Bible also says that God changes not. I see a lot of people say, well, what God did in the Old Testament, he doesn't do that today. Oh, yes, he does. And since he has control over everything that happens on this earth, that means he has the ability to allow things to happen or to stop things from happening. And if he's allowing things to happen, like earthquakes and famines and disease and pestilence and crime and all that other stuff, which he could stop in a minute if he wanted to, if he's not doing it, then the question that should be coming out of any sensible person's mouth is, why is he allowing this to happen? Especially if you call yourself a Christian or you happen to be a preacher. The question that should be coming out of your mouth is, why is God allowing this stuff to happen or causing it to happen, whichever way you want to look at it? It's because we've basically gotten away from him and we aren't paying any attention to what he's trying to say. So like Michelle Bachmann, a politician who happens to be a Republican, says that we need to, that God's trying to get our attention, and she's being criticized. Well, see, she's doing just what God said would be happening in these days and times when Christians, people that are standing on the word of God, are going to be criticized and persecuted and everything. But let me read this passage of scripture to you found in the New Testament. Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 24, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 4, and I'm going to read down to verse number 8. And it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ," or in other words, saying, "I am a Christian," or "I am a messenger of Christ," and shall deceive many. Then he says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now see what Christ is describing here. He's describing what's going to be happening, or the condition of the world and nations and so forth, in the days prior to his return to the earth. And let's go to verse number 7 of Matthew chapter 24. It says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and what earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows." So in other words, Christ is outlining a time when, prior to his coming back, these things are going to start taking place. And we see that these things are beginning to happen. They've been happening all throughout history, But see, in these latter days, they're going to be happening almost like all of them going on at the same time. Whereas before, you might have a war here, and then maybe 50 years of peace, and then you might have an earthquake over here, and then may not have another earthquake for 100 years, or you might have a hurricane here, or a tornado there, or something like that. But they would be kind of scattered, with months or maybe years in between these what we would call cataclysmic types of disasters. But we are seeing in these days and times that all of this stuff is almost taking place on a daily basis somewhere. And see, that brings all of everything into perspective of when all this stuff starts happening within close proximity of each other, that's when you need to look out. And like I said, since Michelle Bachmann made the statement about that, then she's basically standing on firm ground by what she said. Because God, in these last days, is still trying to get our attention. But as is the case, the more somebody warns people, the more they laugh and scoff at it and say, this person don't know what they're talking about. They're a little deluded. They're high on this or they're high on that. But if I'm going to read another, in fact, I'm going to read some more verses in chapter number 24. After Jesus said in verse number 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows, then look what he says. He says, then he's talking to those that are following him, his followers. He says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all the nations for my sake, my name's sake. Now, see, he's talking about his people, the children of Israel, but now it also goes down to now he's also talking about the church, the Christian, the person that stands up for the word of God. He said, riot all nations, you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then he says, verse number 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Verse number 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And I'm going to stop right there. Verse number 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Now, what is Jesus saying here? Essentially, what he's saying is this. He's already warned about the conditions of the world with the troubles and things that are going on in the world. And usually when people are facing trouble or catastrophes or something, what's the first thing they usually try to do? Try to find a solution, or they try to, if they had not been listening to God in the past, when they get in a whole lot of trouble and they see everything else is falling and isn't seeming to work, what do? They turn to God. Now, the thing is, when they turn to God, what they expect to hear is that God's going to come in and stop everything from happening and so forth, and turn everything around for them, while at the same time they have not repented, or they don't intend to repent from the wickedness that they might be involved in that has caused all this stuff to start happening in the first place. And when somebody comes up and tells them that you need to repent, then see, they don't want to hear that. Or like in the case of Michelle Bachmann, when she says that God's trying to get our attention, that something's wrong and God's trying to get our attention. That's how God gets your attention, because the only time this nation, look at the last major disaster that took place in this nation, where church attendance jumped up almost 100 to 200%. What event happened that caused churches church attendance to more than triple? 9/11. That got a lot of people's attention, didn't it? Well, disasters, unfortunately, sad to say, are the only things that usually gets a lot of people's attention, whereas otherwise, as long as they can figure, a way out of something, or they're able to endure through a lot of things, they would rather do that than to come to God. They stay out of the church and just hang in there. So, in other words, for God to get our attention, He's got to allow things to happen to get our attention. Now, see, His end result is, quite frankly, this: is because He wants us to get back into His good graces and things, so that He can bless us, so that when the end of time comes, we'll end up in heaven with Him. So a lot of people say, well, God would be mean if he's doing all this other stuff. No, He's not. He's showing love. The same way that if a parent spanks a child for running out in the street from between parked cars, or getting ready to touch a hot pot on the stove, that's not being mean. That's trying to teach the kid, or get the kid into a mindset to quit doing what they're doing before they really get injured. So once again, like I said, this criticism of Michelle Bachmann by the Democrats and by a lot of preachers, so forth, is basically without merit, because I applaud her for doing it. Now, see, she's doing it when actually it should be these preachers that are criticizing her doing it, but they don't do it. So if a preacher's not going to do it, then what's God supposed to do? He'll use somebody somewhere to do it. It might be a little kid somewhere, or it might be, like we have here, Michelle Bachmann. Well, I'm going to end the commentary with that note here. And like I say, this is only about 39 or 40 minutes. It's a lot, it's about 25 minutes or so shorter than what I would normally be doing, which would be over an hour. Naturally, we got the thing going on in Libya where Muammar Gaddafi, basically, they say Tripoli is falling. He's no longer in control. In fact, they're actually looking for him now. So we'll see where that situation leads, what's going to happen to the oil prices in this nation, going up and down and so forth. Like I said, all this stuff is basically a repeat of what's been going on for the past few weeks. That's why I didn't comment on anything last week. So I'm going to close out now, wishing you and your family be blessed, and that God will bless you real good. So you take care, and I'll be with you again, God willing, next week. It's Evangelist George McTyre signing off.